Everywhere we go, we hear preachers talking about knowing God and how important it is. It is important. As a matter of fact, it is necessary to living a successful, happy, and fulfilled life. Until we know God, we cannot understand His love. Until we know God, we can't learn to love ourselves. You know, as a young person, I heard a lot about knowing God. It was in so many sermons over and over and over again. And I did study. I studied about God from my youth on. But I didn't know God. Not really. I knew I was afraid of Him. I knew that He was full of judgment and He was watching every move I made. And if I didn't follow the church's rules just perfectly, that I was going to lose my salvation. As a matter of fact, there were so many rules in my church. There was no room for me to know God. There was no room for me to have a relationship with God. All it was rules and rules and rules. And as I got older, I knew I couldn't do it perfect. And I became a frustrated Christian. And eventually, I did leave the church. However, when we hear about preachers talking about knowing God, sometimes it seems like they don't really explain what does that mean. The dictionary defines knowing as having knowledge, familiarity, acquaintance with facts, truths, or principles, as from study or investigation. It is acquired by study, research, and it is learning. So we don't know God if knowing means to acquire knowledge through study. Then we can understand that we need to have a deeper understanding of God. We can't just know His name. We can't just know He's there. We can't just know that Jesus died, but not understand the true meaning of that. As the definition defines it, it is information by study and investigation, and it's learning about a person. Let me give you an example. We have to go from knowing about God distantly to knowing God directly and intimately. Let's say you walk up to a person that you don't know and you say, "Hi, I'm Christine. Nice to meet you." And you shake their hand and they say, "Hi, my name is Bob." Let me ask you something. Do you know him? Well, you know his name now. You know what he looks like. But do you know anything about him? Do you know his likes or dislikes? Do you know anything about his family, where he works, what he does? Do you know his background at all or how he feels? Do you know anything about his hopes and dreams? Just being aware of his existence here on the planet Earth is not even close to knowing that person. As we have conversations with that person and we grow into understanding about him, and little by little, we can say eventually that we know that person. In the same way, we have to ask ourselves, do you really know God? Or do you just know his name? Do you just know a vague understanding of who he is, but you don't know what his personality and his qualities? In order to know someone, we have to take the time to get to know them. Getting to know someone takes that time. We have to build a relationship. That means we have to have conversations with them. So what do we need to do to know God? We have to speak to him. And I think that's the very first thing that we need to do. We cannot just start off a relationship with God and just think we're going to pray so eloquently and that we're going to know everything to say. It starts with a conversation. To me, it doesn't even start with going to church faithfully. Because, of course, that's important. And we want to always do that. But it really starts with having that first conversation. Even if that conversation means, "God, if you're up there, let it be known to me. God, I'm not sure. I feel uncomfortable praying to you right now because it feels strange, but I want to know you. Help me." I know for me, getting to know someone can be really uncomfortable at times. But having conversations, and you learn little by little until it becomes natural. Until when the person walks up to you, you feel comfortable to go up and greet them and have a little chit-chat with them. The same is true about getting to know God. Sometimes you feel silly at first, but over time, you become comfortable speaking God. And John 17:3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent." It means our eternal life. It is obviously that important to know God if it means our eternal life. So we should really struggle and strive to get to know God. one of the problems to getting to know God is that sometimes we just think he's too great to comprehend. And we feel that we are too insignificant and that we are so small and sinful and that we're not even worthy of his acknowledgement of our presence here on the earth. So sometimes we don't even try to get to know him because we just feel frustrated from the very beginning that it's just impossible for him to know all of our sins and shortcomings and still want anything to do with us. You know, Satan works day and night to keep us from having a close personal relationship with God. You know, we can have our salvation, we can say that prayer of faith, and we can receive and be born again. But Satan's goal, he can't take that away from us, but his goal is to make sure we do not get any closer and that we do not arrive at the fulfillment of what God has purposed for our lives. So, and he's very successful in that. Satan, I love to comment on and how he works on my mind. He's constantly in my ear saying, you're not good enough. God's promises are not for you. It's for somebody else, but not for you. You're too weak. You're too imperfect. You make mistakes too much. God's too distant or great. And, you know, Satan puts these mindsets into our heads, hoping that we won't even try to get to know God. And in many cases, he is successful. There's this type of person who never gets to know God at all because of this. And it's really sad to know that people are just afraid of God, and so they don't want anything to do with him. But there's another type of person. This type of person does pray to God sometimes, but usually only when they have a big problem and they cannot see a way out. They pray when they're desperate, when they have exhausted every other avenue in their own power and strength. And they leave prayer as the last resort. You know, I had a situation where I had been with God for many years from childhood on, and I left the church because I was a frustrated Christian. I couldn't do anything right. I couldn't do it 100%, so I decided not to do it at all. And I had lived my life for some time without God, and I got myself stuck in a situation where I was a single mother. My son was about a year and a half at the time, my oldest son, and we were being asked to leave the house that we lived in, and I had nowhere to go. I was standing in the kitchen, and I was crying, and I started to pray to God. And halfway through asking him to help me, it dawned on me what a hypocrite I was to just ask for help when I was never asking for him for anything else or having a conversation with him and keeping that relationship flowing. I just out of the blue said, God, I need help. Well, I stopped that prayer and I cried all the harder because my heart hurt because I really and truly felt like I was alone. Well, pretty soon, same day, maybe an hour or so later, there was a knock on my door and it was a Christian woman and I had no one to talk to and I broke down and started crying to this woman, and I told her everything that was going on. And I even told her that I started to pray and that I stopped. And she did something amazing for me. This woman went on to show me the scripture in Romans 8, 26 and 27. And I'd like to read that to you today. It says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily, as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplications and pleads in behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning too deep for utterance. And he who searches the heart of men knows what it is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. So basically, she told me that my spirit had cried out to God and that he heard. And in an instant, he was there for me. And I do know that at that moment, I felt loved for a second. And I felt, wow, you know, I can't believe he was up there. I didn't even finish my prayer. I didn't say, in Jesus' name, amen. I stopped my prayer. So my point is, we don't want to just pray to God when we're stuck and we're in trouble. However, God will meet us wherever we are. If that's the way we start off, then God's happy just for the fact that we call on Him. But just to go a little deeper, I want to give you an example how God must feel when we are in relationship with Him, but we only come to Him as a last resort. He wants to be first in our life, not last. He doesn't want us to come to Him after we've tried our own way, after we've spoken to people and gotten their opinion, after we've exhausted every avenue that we have, that we can, at that point, not see a way out, and then we come to Him. So the first time I heard it explained that way to me, that it must make God feel so bad that we only talk to Him when we absolutely are in trouble, I think I cried, and I resolved in my heart that I did not want to do that to Him. Exodus 33:13 says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and to continue to find favor with you." I can just imagine how God feels, because I know how I would feel if that was done to me. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you have a friend, and maybe you've known him for a little bit of time, and this friend, you haven't spoken to him in a month, let's say, and he calls you up and he says, "Hey, you know, I need to borrow $50 today. I'm having some trouble. Can you loan it to me?" And you say, "Sure," and you give him the $50, and you don't hear from him for another month. And let's say he calls you again and he says, "Hey, can you help me move my couch? I'm moving to a new house." And so you get in your car and you go over and you help him. But then you don't hear from him again for 2 months. And then let's say he calls you again and he wants to borrow something, or he wants you to come pick him up because his car broke down. So you go and you do that for him. But when you get back, you have to ask yourself, you know, this guy is only calling me when he needs something. We don't have a relationship. He doesn't speak to me any other time except when he needs something. So we have to understand, if we understand how that makes us feel, can you imagine how it makes God feel when we do that to Him, when we only come to Him when we need things? So we want to come to know Him. We don't want to just use Him as a standby. We want to use Him to get to know Him. We don't want to use Him at all. Let me rephrase that. We want to get to know Him, have a close personal relationship. That means daily speaking with Him, not just every couple of months when things are tough and you don't see the way out. But then there's a third type of person who knows God or thinks they know God. And this type of person tries to earn God's love by works of the flesh. They work hard to earn God's favor, but they never have sat at His feet. This type of worship distracts us from knowing God. You know, when I was in this church, I was so busy following the rules that I never had time to really get to know Him. I can remember there was rules about viewing TV, and you couldn't watch rated R movies, and you couldn't be alone with a man in a home, and you had to have supervision everywhere you went, and people were watching you constantly. There was rule after rule after rule. You know, the Israelites, once the law was commanded by Moses and was instilled into the Israelites' light, eventually the Pharisees had over 3,000, I believe it was over 3,000 different laws for the people to follow. Don't quote me, it may be less than that. However, I do believe it was a very high number like that. There was no way for the Israelites to follow all of those rules. There was no way. It was impossible. And I felt that same way. But I did try. I tried to follow the rules. I worked hard to get His favor. So I was just terrified of His punishment. But God was patient with me. And the Bible in Titus 3:5-7, it says, "Not by works in righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing, regeneration, and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Isn't that wonderful? By His mercy that He has been made to be in close relationship with us. You know, in Matthew 7:22, we are all familiar with the scripture that says, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and perform many works in your name? And then Jesus would come to him and say, get away from me, workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. So we can be in the works of flesh, but that does not draw us close to God. It actually separates us from him. And I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I never knew him. You know, we're designed with a strong spiritual need that God has placed into every human being. We were created to worship God. That was what God intended when he created us, for us to worship him and love him and be in harmony with his will. God has placed a yearning, a longing in us that no lover, career, bank balance, or relationship could ever satisfy. Without God, we have a sense that something is missing in our lives, but we can't quite put a finger to it. So we continue to search for the meaning of life and what our purpose is. And we pursue the next best thing. A lot of times we think if we accomplish the next highest milestone that we'll be happy. We look for social status and try to move up in status with people. We think, oh, well, if I just get married, I'm going to be happy. Or if I just have children, I'm going to be happy. We believe that if I just get that next promotion at work, then I'll be happy. I'll be fulfilled. And we just get bigger houses and cars that we're going to be fulfilled. But the problem with that is we do reach that point and we get those things and then we're still empty inside. None of these things can satisfy us for long. And once we achieve that goal, and we put our faith in it, we are disappointed and we find no real satisfaction from the things that we acquire. We've all been searching for more because deep down inside we sense that there must be more to living than just mere existence. I believe that's why we have so much depression and suicides in the world, because of the lack of hope, or should I say, because of the lack of purpose in our lives. Well, deep down inside we are searching. Well, I'm here today to tell you that life does have a purpose. We were made to have a strong relationship with God. We were created to love and to worship him. And for the most part, we are starving spiritually. We want to understand, but we are looking in the wrong places. So we need to seek to understand God's quality. You know, there was a quote that all men by nature desire understanding. And I think that's very true. We do desire understanding. God is full of grace. God's grace is the unmerited pardon of all of our sins. Grace is the ability to do with ease what in the natural is impossible for us. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you are saved, through faith, and this not of our own selves, or by our own works, but it is a gift of God." God has shown us in his grace by sending Jesus to die for our sins. There was an example of a gentleman who told a story. His son died in a terrible accident. He was crying out to God. And he was angry with God. And he said, "God, where were you when my son died?" And God answered him and said, "The same place I was when mine died." And I just remember that was the ultimate sacrifice. I can't imagine one of my sons dying, not only dying for people, but dying for people that didn't even care about him. And you know, that's what Jesus did for us. You know, God did that. I'm amazed at how God has provided a way to put us in right standing with him. We are justified, made in right standing with God, and we are now able to approach God in prayer through Jesus' sacrifice. And we are living in the greatest time right now, because when the Israelites were here, they could not approach God personally. They could not have a conversation with him personally. And they had to go to a priest to tell them what their sins were and ask for forgiveness. And the priest interceded for them, and he prayed to God. But now, since Jesus came to the earth and died for our sins, we have the opportunity that has never been given in history. That is that we can speak directly to God. You know, God is also he is a God of justice. That means that God makes wrong things right. We don't even have to take revenge, against others, because if we wait on God, He will bring justice into our situations. Just knowing that God will not tolerate others to mistreat us should make us want to know Him more intimately. Another attribute, and I believe is the greatest attribute, is God's love. If we can understand that God loves us personally, intimately, closely, and that He loves us, not somebody else, not maybe Him over there because He's so awesome, but us personally. When we understand that, we are compelled to know Him deeper. We are loved by Him, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. We are not unseen and unknown by God. He knows each one of us. His love is unconditional, unselfish, and freely given. You know, because of my background with the works of the flesh and trying to obey perfectly, I did not love myself. I actually loathed myself. I hated myself, and I felt like a failure every day. I felt like I was letting God down, and I felt unworthy of God's love, and that distracted me also from getting to know Him. I didn't think I was worthy to get to know Him. But because God is love, He showed me little by little from glory to glory. And I came to a point where I started to understand God's love. God had been showing me His love so often that I stopped fearing Him and I started to accept His love. You know, I had been learning about His love over the years, but there was this one particular instance where it really dawned on me. God loves me. I had been wearing my husband's socks, and we were very poor at that time. We were struggling with money, and I didn't have any socks of my own, so I was wearing my husband's socks, and they were too big on me, and they flipped and flopped around. And this one day, my husband said, "Will you quit wearing my socks? You're ruining them." And I remember feeling so frustrated because I didn't have my own socks, and I didn't pray about the socks. I didn't think to pray about something so minor. So I remember feeling just kind of depressed that, you know, I can't even buy myself some socks. Well, 2 days later, there was a yard sale in front of the apartment complex that we lived in. And I went down in there, and it ended up not being a garage sale. It ended up being some people had moved out, and they had left all their belongings. So they had set these aside, all their things, and for everybody to take. If they want for free. Well, I came up, the very first box I came up to, I was looking around, was a box full of socks. There must have been 25 pair, and they were all in good condition, and they were all for a girl, and they were all my size. So I took that box of socks, and I went home with it, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that I had been sitting there wishing for socks, but I didn't pray about it, and I broke down in tears because God loved me so much that He provided socks for me. And that may not be something that most people would get excited about, but for some reason, I had revelation that day. For me, those socks meant a whole lot. And I really started to understand. It was a turning point in my life that God must really love me if He provides those little things for me, my socks. And I cried. I cried for joy. How can we start to have a relationship with God? How can we get to know Him? Well, the first thing is we have to understand that you can't just wake up one day and have a close personal relationship with God, but we can start slow. We just want to start talking to Him every day, even if it's one sentence, even if you said, "Hi, God, I don't know who you are. I want to know you." We just want to thank Him. We want to thank Him for what we have. God doesn't expect us to know Him all at once, but He does reveal Himself to us gradually and over time. We grow into God's love. We can tell God our hopes and our dreams. We can tell Him our deep feelings and our fears. We can tell Him how we feel. And we can tell Him things that we would never tell another human being. And not only does He understand, but He has compassion for us. Nothing we say can surprise God. Did you know that? He knows what we're going to say even before we do. He knows what we're going to do before we do. He's known us since before time, from the creation of the world. He's known us. And the Bible says that He formed us in our mother's womb. So He knew everything about us. And that can give us comfort in the sense that if God knows everything about us and He still loves us, then we don't have to be afraid of Him. We don't have to worry about pleasing Him. We can just sit back and say, wow, God loves me. I can't believe it, but it's true. God's going to honor any attempt that we make to get to know Him. Did you know that? As soon as He reveals Himself to you, you will become close to Him. God's always there. The Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. But the problem is, we leave God. And we don't draw close to Him. The Bible says we have to draw close to Him and He will draw close to us. He's never left us. So even when we feel empty inside and when we feel He's nowhere near us, He is still there. But we have chosen not to communicate with Him. We've broken off our relationship with Him when we choose not to speak to Him. And that's why we feel empty. And that's why we feel that we cannot be close to God. But it's us doing it. God's never gone anywhere. He's been with us constantly by our side to help us. But when we leave Him, we leave Him out of our lives. We don't even consider Him. That's when we feel like we don't know God. He's there to walk by us. He's in us. So not only is He standing next to us, He's in us. And He carries us in the time of need. Going back to the lady that had found me at the house crying, not only did she read that scripture to me and give me comfort and that I knew God was there for me and that my spirit had cried out to Him, but the lady went on to help me find an apartment, a place to live. I had a little baby with me, and I think I was so ready to give up that day. I felt completely lost. I was at my end, and you know what? God saved me. And I just remember thinking how much God must love me. But God is long-suffering with us, and He's patient with us. And even during the years that I failed to pray to Him and I had given up on Him, He waited for me. And He knew that I had come out of a religion that was so legalistic that I couldn't even function. And He gave me a number of years to heal. And when I look back on that time, I thank God for being long-suffering and patient with me and letting my hurt heal. And when I was ready, when my heart was ripe, He stepped back into my life. You know, God will meet us where we are. He'll climb down into our messes and He pulls us up out of the pit we've dug for ourselves. You know, God is merciful. You know, during the time when I had left the church, I just knew I couldn't do it right. But then, after I think it was about 8 years I had been without God, my father came down with cancer of the stomach, and I helped take care of him for the last 10 months. But when he died, he had been going to a church, and he had gotten saved a few months earlier. And that body of church, his friends there, they came to see him very often, all the time. And when he died, they swooped down, took everything out of my hands. They took care of the funeral. They took care of the food at the funeral. They took care of, they even made a video presentation of my father's life. And it was a beautiful funeral. And I just remember thinking, this is really love. I had never experienced love in a church like that before. And that made my heart ripe for God. That made me want to get to know Him and want to come back to Him. And He'll never understand how much that meant to me. We can see God in a lot of different ways. Not only do we want to pray to Him or just talk to Him, if you don't want to call it prayer, we just want to talk to Him. We can see God and get to know Him by the example of Jesus when we read in the Bible about Jesus' life and His ministry. We can see God's qualities through Jesus' life. We can go to church. and we can fellowship with other Christians who love God, and we can see those ones that really truly have a relationship with God, they'll be set aside. They're different than the other Christians that don't have a close relationship with them. And we can just see them. I know there's a gentleman at my work. The first time I met him, it was like the Holy Spirit was oozing out of his skin and every pore. And the Spirit inside me leapt for joy when I met him. And I went to find out that he was a Bible teacher, and he really loved God and was very close to him. And I could just see that. And I know the rest of the world could see that in him too. And I wanted to feel that way and be like him. We can see God also in nature. You know, when I think about the trees and the birds and the sky, creations, animals, fish, birds, the mountains, the sky, the heavens, you know, I think, wow, he put a lot of thought into our world. Every single animal that's on the earth has a defensive mechanism of some sort, some way to protect itself and to carry on its species. He did that for us, so we have something to enjoy while we're here on this earth. And so we can really know him and his love by looking at nature, by just stopping and appreciate. I know, have you ever heard of stop and smell the roses? Well, sometimes we have to stop and look around and say, wow, what a wonderful, beautiful earth this is. You know, we also get to know God through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And sometimes people don't like to refer to it as the Holy Spirit or that God spoke to me. But inside, we can call it our conscience if we want to. But really what that is it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and helps us to make the correct choices. You know, the Holy Spirit's our standby. Our Holy Spirit is our comforter. And he helps us. He helps us to make decisions. So sometimes when something happens, let's say you're getting ready to say something negative to someone or to gossip, and inside you feel that tugging, saying, don't do that. You don't say that. That's, you know, that's not right. And now we have a choice then whether we can follow that Holy Spirit and say, okay, I'm not going to say anything. Or we can go against them and we can go ahead and do it. But the point is the Holy Spirit is there, is with us to help us. And we can feel God in that way. If we're paying attention, people call it their conscience. The conscience tells them whether it's right or wrong. But really, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not just our conscience. It's not just our mind. We can also see God by reasoning and through experience. When we can reason out and we can look at Bible history even, we can go back and we can say, okay, everything that the Bible says can be proved by history. And that's awesome too. So there's many ways that we can know God. We can see him. We can feel him. And we can grow because of that. But it needs to start with that first conversation. I implore you, please, speak to God. Try it out and see if it doesn't work for you, even if it feels uncomfortable. I think God wants me to tell you and to explain to you that you are worth knowing. You are beautiful to him. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. He's waiting for all of you. Please come to him and start that first conversation. We are loved dearly by God. So, in conclusion, we need to know God deeply and intimately. We do not want to only come to know God when we are in trouble. We don't want to wait until that last minute when he needs to step in and save our souls. We can't earn God's love through works of flesh. We can't have a relationship with him when all we're doing is trying to please him and trying to work for him and to earn our salvation. We have to take steps, starting with that first prayer, to get to know him, his attributes, and his character. We are seen by God. We are heard by God. We are not too small and insignificant for God to love us. And we must recognize that we were designed with a spiritual thirst that only knowledge of God can satisfy. And God loves us unconditionally. The Bible says that God doesn't just have love. The Bible says that God is love. We can barely comprehend him loving us without judging us, let alone that he is love. It's to me, it's so awesome that I can't quite wrap my mind around it. God is also long-suffering. He is kind and patient. And he's not just out there. He's with us. God loves you so dearly, and he's reaching out to you with an invitation to you that he wants you to belong to him. He wants to give you right standing with him. And he wants you to make it your goal to come to know him. And God will bless your efforts. Don't you want to get to know God? Don't you want to know that there's more out there? There's a purpose in your life. Don't be afraid of God. He hates that. He dreads the fact that we are afraid of him. God is love, and he wants to be a part of your life. So let's make attempts every day to pray to him, to talk to him, to tell him our deepest secrets. And he will be known to you, and he will be there, and he will gradually show you, little by little, his true character and his love. God will always bless your efforts to get to know him.